Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 2nd, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And by the way, you folks have been waiting on an app. I think I have a resolution to that by the time we listen to radio next week. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service, an email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. Or as my wife says, we'll simply throw the address away. We have a prayer request form on the right-hand side of Prophecy Hour and MessiahsBranch.com pages. You can also go there. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast on the net internationally on YouTube and on some live on YouTube and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting our time. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like the United Arab Emirates, Auckland, New Zealand, Sydney, Australia, Jerusalem, Israel, Bucharest, Romania, Moscow, Russia, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Washington, D.C., Plano, Texas, Stockton, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, Buffalo, New York, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and, of course, Atlanta, Georgia, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. And Washington, D.C., by the way, has been coming up there in the number of listeners we're getting, at least to the podcast. Let's have a prayer, and let's bring on tonight's guest. We've got a great subject. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I really pray radio goes according to your will and not my will nor our guest's will. But, Father, we put things into your hand because we don't know how to do anything right. So just bless us, Father, with this program tonight and give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, we said before the election that the spiritual battle, there was a huge spiritual battle, and it was going on all over America. If you remember, I encouraged you over and over that you needed to pray during this election time. Well, you need to pray all the time, but you also needed to pray for Trump because there's a battle between light and darkness. Well, that's still going on. And, you know, but now we're even here about witches that are casting spells. Is this just something childish, or is this something we should pay attention to? I am the latter. We really need to pay attention to it. But so who would have something to say about this? Well, of course, we know who would have something to say about it. He's Pastor Carl Gallup, one of our regular guests on this radio program. Pastor Carl is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 5 books now. I got that right this time. Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, and When the Lion Roars. Well, all his books are great. I think you should really get the last two. Anyway, so now let's welcome back Pastor Carl Gallup. So you're with me, Pastor Carl.
I am, Pastor Dan. You're such a good friend and a great brother in the Lord, and I always get excited when I get the call from my office that you want me on your show. Thank you.
Well, amen. I love having you on. And, you know, you always have something to say about everything. And I've been doing this thing over in my brain about the witches, and it really bothers me, but I just don't think people are taking it seriously.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say I always have something to say about everything. My teachers in elementary school used to send that same report home to my parents.
I believe it.
Yeah, they said, you know, we love Carl. He's a straight A student, and I was. I'm not bragging. I just was blessed with that. He's a straight A student, but he always has something to say about everything.
Yeah, amen.
So here I am. Okay. Well, brother, no, listen, and please, I'm just going to go off on this. Please just jump in. It's your show, but you've set me up for it. Thank you. No, here's what happened, and most of your audience probably knows this, but for those that don't, let me start at the beginning. You know, you and I had said right here on your show, the day after the election, we were, within days after the election, you and I were on your show together, and we said to the people, you know, look, I'm not holding Donald Trump up as the savior of America. But I am saying that perhaps God has anointed him. Perhaps God can use him to bring some breathing room to the church. At least he's a friend to the church. At least he's a friend to the rule of law. At least he's a friend to the Constitution and to border sanity and immigration sanity. And, you know, all of the things that you and I have been, you know, pining for 8 years. And you know, he surrounds himself by Christians and evangelicals and people of faith, even if they're not Christians. They're Jewish, they're mainstream, they're Orthodox. He doesn't surround himself with Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood and atheists and communists. And so, you know, so that's what I say about Donald Trump. But here a couple of weeks ago, or maybe just a week or so ago, the internet is being used prolifically now by evil forces, and the demonic outpouring of the last days is upon us. I write about that in my last 2 books, particularly my last book. And what do we find? But the world of witches and witchcraft and sorcery, occultism and Satanism and demonism, they reach out all using social media, asking the world to join with them in a hexing, in a prayer, if you will, in pronouncing curses upon Donald Trump and his administration. Now, that was a week or so ago, and they had a particular night, they had a particular hour, they had a particular prayer journal to follow and a particular formula of a concoction, a witchcraft concoction to formulate for the hex. Well, you know, I know some of your listeners are probably laughing, saying, a bunch of idiots, what difference? Well, I get that. There's a lot of chicanery in the witchcraft movement, just like there is in some television evangelists and churches, etc. I get that. But I also know that the Word of God says, from Genesis to Revelation, literally, God's people are to have nothing to do with witchcraft, occultism, sorcery, and the establishing of contact with demons, etc., etc. And so I know that there, and I've been 30 years in the ministry now, 10 years prior to that in law enforcement, 40 years dealing at the gut level, street level of people's disasters in life, and I know the demonic realm is real. The demonic realm can be summoned. The demonic realm can be contacted. And I'm not saying that just because a witch does a dance and makes a potion and says a prayer that they're going to get some kind of special power or that they can hex somebody. But I'm saying the very fact that there's a worldwide movement, unashamed, to bring down curses through demonic contact upon Donald Trump and his administration tells us several things. Number one, brother, it tells us that the demonic realm is going out of its mind. I mean, we are in the last days. Revelation 12:12. Satan is thrown to the earth, and he is furious. He is enraged because he knows his time is short. We're watching that happen, number one.
Yeah,
number two, there is a reality. You know, I believe that Donald Trump is under God's hand of protection right now. I don't know how long that'll be. I'm not saying Donald Trump's some kind of messiah or angel. I'm just saying, just like you and I are often under God's hand of protection, I think he is too. And I don't think that a witch's curse is going to have one iota of a difference made upon Donald Trump. But, the powers are real. The forces are real. The demonic realm is real. Ask Jesus. Read the New Testament. And what I'm seeing, brother, is what you and I have been proclaiming ever since the election. Folks, don't sit back thinking this is over. Don't sit back thinking, okay, we got our man in office. Now it's easy sailing. Now it's back to Andy of Mayberry and Father Knows Best. No, the war has just begun, is what you and I have been saying. This is demonic. It is nasty. It is dirty. It is as devastating as it can get if it gets out of control. Globalism is the spirit of the Antichrist. There will be a one-world ruler under a one-world governance, under a one-world marking system. It will be empowered by Satan himself, and it will come with signs and wonders and great deception. And that day is coming, and right now, there are only a few things in the world holding that back. One of them is the United States of America. The other one is Donald Trump in office. The other one is the United States and Israel's connection. And the other one, believe it or not, is Russia. Because as bad as Putin can be, they don't want to be a part of a globalist system either. They're trying to build their own empire. And so you've got these major powers that are standing against the Antichrist agenda, and look what's in the news. Israel, Russia, and the United States. And the globalists hate Israel. They hate Russia. They hate the United States. Now they're trying to tie Russia and the United States together to bring them both down. Now the witches are forming prayer groups and witchcraft against Donald Trump. Hey, in 8 years of Obama in office, Pastor Dan, do you ever remember witches praying against Obama?
No, I don't. Well, absolutely not.
Yep, that's my point. So my point is, we're watching Ephesians 6, 10, 11, and 12. We're watching it unfold right before our eyes. Powers of wickedness in high places, principalities and powers, gods and thrones are going out of their minds, and they are possessing the wicked, the unbelievers, the demonically inclined people of the earth, to rising up to attack the United States, the rule of law, the power of a foundation of Judeo-Christian heritage, a Donald Trump who surrounds himself with men and women of the Word of God, Israel, and even Russia. And the attack is demonic, it is horrific, and just in the last couple of days, and this is the article you're talking about, the witches have decided that they're going to continue this attack all over the world, and they're using social media, setting more dates and more prayer rituals and more occultic seances at specific times aimed at Donald Trump. And again, I ask your listeners to think, in the last 8 years, was there ever anything in the demonic realm like this aimed at Barack Obama and his administration? No. Why? Well, because he was attacking the church. He was targeting the church. He was targeting Israel. He was bringing in terrorist Muslim groups. Oh, the Muslim Brotherhood was embedded within our nation. Sharia, Islamic law, being brought to U.S. cities, importing hundreds of thousands of Muslims, including ISIS fighters that we know that are here. Well, that's exactly what the demonic realm would want, especially if you're trying to set up the coming of the Antichrist. And along comes Donald Trump, steps in the middle of it, and threatens to mess up the whole thing. And witches and demons and globalists and communists and godless and atheist people all over the world are going out of their minds, Pastor Dan. That's my assessment of what's going on.
Okay, I have a few comments. Of course, I'm in 100% agreement. Let's back up and start about a couple of things. Russia. I have this thing with several different brothers. They're always talking about the Illuminati and the One World Order and everything. And I said, but the problem is, I've been pointing to Russia for years. They do not want to be ruled by anybody else. They want to rule. And so that's what we see right now. And you're absolutely right. With them coming against Donald Trump and trying to link him with Russia, they know that if Russia and the United States make some form of agreement, it's going to put all this off for quite some time.
Yes.
And they don't like that. That sound pretty correct?
No. Well, that's what I think. I mean, you and I both could be wrong. You and I don't claim to be 100% correct about these things. But, no, that's exactly what I think I see. And I've talked to other biblical scholars who agree with me that that's probably the dynamic we're watching. So you know, Russia is I don't know the word to use. It's a conundrum. In other words, it's been called the evil empire, and for so long it was evil. And it still is, and it aligns itself with evil people like Iran. Iran wants to annihilate Israel, and yet Russia and Iran are big buddies. And it aligns itself with China. They have military troops together in Syria. So that's weird. But on the other hand, Putin is wanting to be friends with America. That's so he says. He's even loosened the boundaries of Christianity in his nation. He allows it in schools and in the marketplace, the public place. I mean, the United States doesn't even do that.
Right.
So it's a real conundrum. Plus, Russia, from everything I can tell, and you just said it, but I'm going to repeat it, they do not want to be a part of this globalist system. They don't want to be ruled by anyone. In fact, if anybody wants to be the globalist head of the world, it would be Russia.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Magog.
absolutely. But let's go with this. Number one, what a lot of people don't realize is that Russia now has went through quite a transformation. You know, it's quite Christian Orthodox, and they believe, I did a little bit of study on it, what they believed about their leaders. They believe that their leaders are actually ordained by God directly. And so they believe that Putin's a savior or anything like that, but they do believe in, you know, he was there appointed by God.
Yeah.
Point is, they do make some strange alliances, and we do know where they'll end up at in the long run.
Yes, but, yes, we do. Go ahead.
But of course, but you see all these everything ties together. You couldn't have been better well said. But let's switch over here. All these other people you're talking about, witchcraft, and all these people that are standing up. Have you ever seen such hatred in people? I mean, come on. There's one thing to protest, but these protesters, whether it's Hollywood or whoever it is, I mean, I just see such extreme hatred in them. Why do you think that is? Why the hatred?
Because it's demonic. Brother, we've been given over to a depraved mind. And think of it. Those people are the same ones that support such irony. In other words, they support the virtues of Islam while at the same time supporting the virtues of women's liberation and homosexual rights. Well, but Islam stands diametrically opposed to women's liberation and homosexual rights. In fact, they kill women, and they kill homosexuals. But yet, the elite, the liberal leftist, demonically possessed elite, support all of that. You can't have it all, but they do. They've lost their minds. They've been given over to a depraved mind. And so what we're watching unfold is the prophecies in the scriptures about the last days, the days of Noah, the days of Lot, the being given over to a depraved mind, the worshiping of created things rather than the Creator. That's what we're seeing. I mean, it's like back during the days of Obama's 8 years, and people would ask me, what is he thinking? What is he doing? That's so un-American. It's so wrong. Are they that stupid? And my answer was, oh, no. They know exactly what they're doing, and the sooner you can get it through your head that Obama is not for us, then everything he does makes sense. And so I'm giving that same answer to you about, you know, the leftist in our country. And, you know, if you can, the quicker we can get it through our heads that they are not for us, they are not for America, they are not for our foundations, they are not for rule of law, they are not for national sovereignty, they are for globalism, they are for open borders, they are for free and open sexual perversion, and on and on and on it goes. All of the things that would be consistent with the worship of Baal, that's what they're for. They're not for us, brother. So when we realize that, then everything they do makes sense. But if you try to put it in the paradigm of apple pie, Chevrolet, hot dogs, and national sovereignty and constitution, it appears to be completely berserk. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. And that was one of the things early on I noticed a very long time ago. I can't exactly pinpoint when, but it just really astounded me about how the left were so pro-Muslim, but yet Muslim, I mean, they're, like you said, they're against women. I mean, they won't let them drive. They kill them. They step out inside of their door, on their doorway, and I've seen them stoned to death for it because they didn't have a man with them. I mean, you would think they would be screaming at their top of their lungs about that, but they're not. And so the only thing that I can tie them all together is not having a belief in our Savior, the risen Christ.
Right. No, and that's it. That's it. And it's the depravity of mind. And I hate to say that because it sounds almost mean-spirited, you know, but I've been doing this long enough now, and so have you. I can spot this a mile away. I mean, this is a demonic spirit, and it's been ushered in by all the radical movements, the radical evolution movement, the radical abortion movement, the radical homosexual movement, the radical gay marriage movement, the radical sexual liberation movement. I mean, all of these things go back to the Garden of Eden, brother, and right on through in Baal worship and right on through to our own day. And people who are given over to that way of thinking are so outside the boundaries of God's Word that to those of us who are in God's Word, they appear to be mentally ill. But it's a spiritual illness, brother. It's a spiritual sickness.
Absolutely. Well, Carl, why don't you give your website real quick, and then we'll go to break and come back.
Okay. CarlGallups.com. CarlGallups.com. CarlGallups. CarlGallups.com.
Well, folks, go over there and have a look. First, you'll hit a splash page. Click on that, and you'll be amazed at what all you can find. And like I said, Carl has something to say about everything, but it's a good something to say. Anyway, get his books, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, a couple of things I want to point you to, and I want you to remember. The biggest thing is, you know, this is one of my favorite times of year, but I always say that whenever it's feast time, because all of my feasts are favorite, so to speak, but Passover's coming. That's in April. So, folks, you know, make sure if you have never attended a Passover Seder, find a church, somebody close to you, and it will help you to understand what Messiah went through and the disciples before he was crucified. It's just a wonderful thing, and you should really, really try it. I'm not encouraging you to switch over and be messianic, but everybody needs to experience a Passover Seder. And pray about it. It's also a new month, and so radio airtime is due. And, of course, remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help, of course, for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications. We don't really get any help from any of the other organized churches in Wichita or government agencies. We don't get anything from the government. But like you, it's only people like you that supported us. Now, we're in our 17th year. We're going to start our 18th year in June. What about that? Anyway, we care and minister for people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark, and some don't even like to drive through it before dark. But anyway, so why do so many people come to us for help or love? That's the answer. We have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. We treat them like family, and then if we don't have what they need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help us support, again, consider radio airtime, because we have great people on, like our guest today, talking about great subjects. So pray about supporting radio airtime. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallups, and we're talking about witches, Trump, and many other things. Are you still with me, Carl?
I'm still here. Yeah, it's just funny. We're talking about witches and Trump.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of, who would ever think that we'd be talking about a president, a sitting president, and him being attacked worldwide by witches? I mean, who would have thought that?
I know. And it's not, and I'm glad you put the word worldwide in there, because that's the thing that's so astounding. I mean, to have a local witch coven or maybe some little group in Los Angeles or some big city go to the newspaper and say, we're praying against Trump. Yeah, that kind of junk's always gone on. But to have a worldwide, a global demonic outpouring effort aimed at one person. And you got to ask, brother. You know, Trump's past, I mean, he's been married 3 times, he owns casinos. I mean, this is not the shining example of a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, right? But yet, his heart is soft to the things of God, to the people of God, to the church of God. His vice president is a spirit-filled, Jesus-loving man. The council he surrounds himself with, evangelical leaders and other solid faith leaders from around the nation, And so, you know, you look at this guy, and it's an anomaly. I mean, on the one hand, you'd think right. That perhaps, at least in his older life, the demonic realm would love him. But here he sits now as the most powerful throne, if you will, of earthly rulers. And he stands for the Word of God and for Israel and for the rule of law. And for national sovereignty, and the demonic realm goes crazy. And no, who would have thought that we would have seen something like this in our lifetime? It's surreal, but it is supernatural, and it is very real.
Amen. Let me say this about Trump, President Trump. I'm getting into calling him President Trump. Have been for a long time, because he's always just Trump to me. But let's go with this. I followed him very closely through the election. I followed the people that was around him, as you said, spirit-filled Christians and evangelical leaders. And I can't put my finger on which one of them said it, but it was actually said by more than one. But they witnessed that, you know, they prayed over him, and they talked about his repentance. And so looking at that, he reminds me now of, you know, maybe somebody, because he always says he believed in Christianity, but you know, maybe a backslidden believer or something, or somebody that finally came to the truth of the faith. So, through repentance and being prayed over, as he is, to me, I hope you understand this, you should, that I don't hold one iota of his past against him, because if God the Father does it, I can't. Back to you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you know, I actually opened one of his big rallies in prayer back before he had even won the primary back here in Florida in January of 2016. And then 2 months later, I came out in open endorsement. I was in the AP Press and Washington Post and the New York Times openly endorsing him. And because I had the same stance you just said, and that is I was getting all this feedback from evangelical leaders that were saying, look, his heart seems right. He's repented. He's called upon Jesus. We were there. We heard him do it. He's surrounding himself with Christian people. He's making promises to the church, to God's people. And then he's making promises that are biblical, like, you know, doing something about abortion, protecting our borders, restoring rule of law, all of these things. And not targeting the church and easing up on preachers in the pulpit and tax requirements, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's why I endorsed him. So, no, I agree with you. I know his past. You have a past. I have a past. We all have a past. Somewhere it's got to be under the blood of Jesus. And
yeah.
Trump claims it's under the blood of Jesus. We'll take him at his word unless he proves us wrong. But the fact, here's the bottom line fact, and I think I said this in this last interview. The very fact that the demons of hell have joined forces all over the world to come against this man is proof that he's under the anointing of God right now. It's proof.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, they're really accomplishing something, and they don't realize even what it is. But it's giving confirmation to us that knows that this, you know, this wouldn't be happening with them if he wasn't against the very things that they believe in.
Yeah.
And so, but let's look at this. You know, he's made, it's almost like he made a checklist. I'm even trying to remember every one of his speeches to see what he's going to hit next, because he's going down a checklist and doing everything he says. He's keeping his word. And it's like, you know, that one of the most biggest things that I was upset about with Obama was, I just finally had it when he did the bathroom thing, and now that's been rescinded to where it has to go back to the states, just as Trump said it would. But we better throw in here something before I forget it. Carl, after you did that for Trump and you opened at a rally, you know, you weren't treated very good with some of the news media, were you?
No. They attacked me instantly, and boy, did I get a taste of the fake news, because headlines all over the world were calling me the truther pastor. What was it? It was they were saying that I said no one died at Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
I think they called that the truther pastor or something like that. But as a matter of fact, I've never said that in my life anywhere, and I've challenged people. Please show me where I've said that in print. Pull up any audio where you've ever heard me say that. Ask any of the people in my church that I've pastored for 30 years if they've ever heard me say that. I've worked at a radio station here on the Gulf Coast for 15 years of doing broadcast. I've had people on my show who do believe that nobody died at Sandy Hook. I said, pull up any radio broadcast, ask anybody in the radio station if I have ever said that I believed that nobody died at Sandy Hook. But that didn't matter. That's what they printed in the headlines, that I was a truther, pastor, conspiracy theorist, nut job who said nobody died at Sandy Hook. I've never said that. But that's how the fake media operates. And that's why Donald Trump has just continually lambasted them, especially CNN and the New York Times. They're the worst. They do stuff like that, brother. They tried to take me out. Why? Because I'm all over TV, I'm all over radio, I'm in the headlines of the media, I've got 5 best-selling books out there, people know who I am, I opened his rally, then I came out and endorsed him, and it was right before the Florida primary, and so they had to try to neutralize my endorsement. They were so afraid I would swing, maybe perhaps millions of votes, and so they lied about me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry. I've been sitting over here laughing the whole time you were talking about it, because you know, the media, it's just crazy. Who, and there's another thing. Who would ever thought when we came to the age? I know, let's go back. When I was young, number one, the president was the most respected man in the country, you know, if not the world. We always looked to him and politicians to respect. If you caught him lying or doing something, you know, despicable, well, that was, you know, a big thing. And then we'll go to the media, which you just got done talking about. You used to trust the media. You know, I used to sit in front of the TV for hours listening to news media. I believed him. Who would have thought that any, you can't trust, and I'll point out the station, but just one as an example, CNN, you can't trust one word they say. How do you know when they're not lying? Because everything is twisted and untruth, and yet that is what goes out on most broadcast TV, you know, broadcast TV, that's their left. How yep. can we, you know, it's hard to win. Back to you.
Yeah, well, no, you've nailed it, and that's what Trump's nemesis has been. From the beginning, they published fake polls. Even the night of the election, they were publishing fake polls, giving fake results, making predictions that turned out to be totally, totally wrong. So you have to say fake predictions. I mean, if there's such a thing as right. a fake prediction. But, you know, they would say, oh, Trump's got this. He's going to, all of our statistics show that he's going to, you know, I mean, that Hillary's got this. Hillary's going to walk away with it. Trump's going down in flames. Well, the opposite was true. Everything that happened was opposite of what they said. So, and they continue to carry this mantle. And listen, I know we look at that, Pastor Dan, and we say, well, how can they be so stupid? Well, two things. Number one, they're given over to a depraved mind, so there is a certain level of just pure raw stupidity that goes with a depraved mind. But statistically is how they're operating, Pastor Dan, because the vast majority of Americans still get most of their news from mainstream liberal sources. They don't know how to research on the Internet. They don't listen to the Pastor Dan Show or WND or some of these other sites. I mean, nothing against you or them. It's just the right. vast majority of Americans flip on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. That's where they get their news. And even Fox. You know, they're supposedly the most conservative of all the networks, and they're the number one cable network. But brother, they get it wrong all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so that's where people are getting their information. And they know it, Pastor Dan. Mm-hmm. That's why CNN continues to put fake news out, even though Trump is calling their hand on it. But the thing that is making them furious is it's a little different world now. Number one, Trump, every time he's on TV, the ratings go through the roof. So
right.
people are at least listening to him. And when he got up there in his first press conference and dressed down CNN by name, that was mortifying to CNN because now they were outed and a lot of their viewers were watching and they heard Donald Trump present evidence and show, and their viewership went down almost overnight. Yeah. And then Donald Trump has this thing called Twitter. He now gets on the social network and he outmaneuvers the news media and they don't know what to do with that. They don't know what to do. And they're just going crazy. This is interesting to watch. I'm telling you, I'm having a blast watching it. But on the other hand,
absolutely.
I'm kind of brokenhearted because I know where this is going. I mean, I've read the Bible.
Well,
I know where this is going, brother.
Absolutely. A couple of things, you know, because he has such a following on Twitter is the only thing that keeps him on Twitter, because Twitter is actually, you know, has a leftist tendency, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But let's go with this about Fox News. You know, I watch Fox News a lot, you know, and I watch, you know, Fox Business now more than regular Fox News. But I was more comfortable with them before the election. But when the election happened and Donald Trump stepped into the arena, it exposed everybody. I mean, you know, you've seen all these globalists, because that's what was coming against them. They were all for open borders and so on and so forth, but yet they had people on Fox News, a bunch of them saying, oh, we're not for open borders, but they really were.
Yeah.
And it exposed across the spectrum so many people that it boiled down to true conservatives or people that you can trust were not many. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I'm just going to call a name. I remember, you know, when it first hit me, and it's been a couple of years ago now, but Shepard Smith, you know, he was first presented as this bastion of Fox News and this conservative pundit. But, brother, he's as liberal as he can be, as, and it came out during the election and ever since. And he, you know, he just, when Donald Trump dressed down CNN the other day, Shepard Smith went straight to the airwaves and dressed down Donald Trump and defended CNN.
Right.
So,
right.
So we're, absolutely. I mean, what's happening is, you're right, the truth is being exposed. And Christians are waking up, tens of millions of us. And even people who are not Christians, I mean, they're starting to get it, that you can't even go to Fox News anymore and say, okay, I believe at least 90% of this. No, I believe about 20% of what I see on Fox News. The rest of it, I'm researching.
Right, absolutely. And that's where I was at a loss. One of the brothers at the Mission Church the other day comes every week to service, whatever, and he said to me, he said, hey, can you give me a news feed? And I started to, and my mouth came open, but then I didn't say anything. And I said, well, I'll have to explain that better to you, because normally I would have said, well, just go to Fox News or something, but that was pre-election. Now, you know, there isn't, unless you do the research yourself. And that's where we go. This is how we got to inflation. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have a man that goes out and works hard. Maybe he works 8, 9, 10 hours a day, or maybe it's a woman that goes out and works 8, 9, 10 hours a day to support their family. They come home, their wife or husband's making dinner for them, and naturally I'm giving credit to both sides of it. But the man comes down, he sits in front of the TV set, and he's got maybe 30, 45 minutes before he's waiting on dinner, or he gets his dinner served. And so he turns on the TV, he gets 15 minutes of news maybe, and then a little bit of weather, and that's it.
Yep.
And so, you know, he hasn't got time to research after that. It's just, you know, get ready for the next day and go to bed to get up and do it all over again.
Yep.
So I think that's why where we're at.
I think you're right. And listen, you know, I'm critical sometimes of people like that until I remember that I used to be one of those guys. You know, I mean, yeah. I can remember when I was in law enforcement, brother, I was working 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, 8, 10, 12 hour shifts, overtime, and I would come home, plop down, and before I went to bed or got my meal, and some of that I was going to college too, but so before I got dressed to go to school, you know, I'd flip on the TV, watch 10 or 15 minutes of news, check the weather for the day, and go on. And brother, when I got out of that kind of routine and then into the world I'm in now, I realized most of the world was passing me by. Most of the truth of what was really happening, I didn't have a clue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so but this election, I think, woke a lot of those sleeping giants up, because I said that Trump would win by an overwhelming majority. I still believe that he did, because more and more is coming out about how many illegal votes were there and so on and so forth. I think the only way that he could have won was with an overwhelming majority.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he won with an overwhelming majority of the Electoral College, no doubt.
Right.
And now it appears as though he more than likely won with an overwhelming majority of the popular vote as well. And so it really kills me about these people talking about how Russia influenced the election. And, well, you know, we could talk for hours about that. But now they've shifted it from they influenced the election results to Trump and his people were having illegal conversations and making illegal promises to Russian officials during the campaign, which is, you know, that's just, he needs to be impeached, he needs to be thrown out.
Right.
I mean, they live in this Disney World pipeline dream that Donald Trump is just going to be thrown out of office within weeks, and that the Democrats are just going to march right back in and continue their globalist agenda. Well, I've got news. I doubt seriously that that's going to happen.
No, but they believe it is, brother. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, even if for some reason Trump was impeached, they'd still have Mike Pence, which, you know, Mike Pence would still fulfill. I think right now what you are seeing, let's go with this. I never liked Paul Ryan until recently. he seems like he's talked with Trump enough that he's glowing. He's ready to do everything Trump wants to do, what they want to do. I don't think you're going to. Trump's right. It's a movement. And I think that movement is underlying. It's the Spirit of God moving on people because it's not time for evil to completely take over the world. That's
right.
What I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. And my assessment of Paul Ryan is the same as yours. I didn't like him either for the longest. I mean, I don't know. As a person, he's probably a fine guy. But I just thought his politics was wishy-washy, up and down, more liberal than conservative. But I think Trump is beginning to win him over, if not have already won him over. And plus, that's also the anointing of God. We'll see. I mean, Ryan could be a wolf in sheep's clothing. We'll see. Trump deals with him every day, so I trust Trump more than I trust my inclinations right now. But listen, this story is just beginning. I mean, Donald Trump, President Trump, has only been in office 5 weeks. And the stock market's through the roof. People's patriotism is through the roof. The economy is going through the roof. Promises are being kept, and witches are praying against him, and the leftists are trying to impeach him. And I mean, 5 weeks, brother.
Wow. In your last book, you talk, When a Lion Roars, you talked about about where we're at. And in order to understand the witch things, don't you think that book, When a Lion Roars, is still very pertinent for people to get, even though Trump became president?
Listen, I write about Trump in there before he even won, because he was running at the time that I was writing the book. So there were some things that are appropriate to Trump and prophecy. And that book has proved to be prophetic. I don't know how long it's been since you've thumbed back through it, but things that I wrote about a year ago, now the book's only been out 3 or 4 months, but it takes you a year to write it and get it to the publishers and get it, out there. But the things I wrote about a year ago, where I was telling in my book, look, here's what the Bible says, and here's what's happening, here's where we're headed, and then I would say things like, I believe that within, 2 or 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, we'll see this come to pass. Brother, 4 or 5 things have come to pass in the last few months. And
absolutely.
So the book is proving to be prophetic because it's unfolding so quickly before our eyes right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I still strongly recommend everybody to get the book. How is it doing?
It's still doing great. People are raving about it. I'm getting all kind of feedback. Preachers are preaching from it. Churches are doing Bible studies from it. It's still ranking very high on Amazon. And from time to time, it'll take a spike and just go way up there and become number one again in 3 or 4 different categories. And so the Lord is still blessing it and using it. And in fact, I've got 2 calls today from television shows wanting to bring me on and interview me about it. And people are very excited about it. So thank you.
Amen. That's great. And I'm going to make this quick because we only got about a couple of minutes. But one thing I want to encourage the people about was the style in which you wrote it. You know what? You wrote it in short increments, meaning short chapters.
Yeah.
That, that way, because I'm a person that don't like to put a book down when I'm in the middle of a chapter, but I can read a chapter in it and I can put it down. I can do what I have to do. So it makes it more readable to a busy person.
Thank you. Thank you. I think so, too. I mean, excuse me. That's my 5th book. I've got a 6th one coming out at the end of this year. At least it's before the publishers now, and they're very excited about it, so I think it will. But over the last 2 or 3 books, I've learned that, even though all my books have done very well, but I've learned that, that's how people like to read nowadays. People don't like to read a 30-page chapter. So my chapters are 6 or 7 pages, maybe 10 pages at the most. On any chapter, most of them are 6 or 7 pages, and even in those 6 or 7 pages, there are little subheadings. So you can keep a bookmarker in your book, and you don't even have to finish a whole chapter, of which would take less than 10 minutes to read, but you can just, if you get a phone call and you have to stop, just put your bookmark there at a little subheading, and then pick it up when you come back. So that's how I've written it, and people really like that.
All right. Well, Carl, I've got to get out of here. We'll talk again. CarlGallops.com, folks, and thanks a lot, Carl. Be blessed.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallops. Great book. He's right about it. It's written in short increments. That's what I'm going to do with the book that I'm working on. But really, you must remember, folks, that there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for what? Your repented sins. He rose after how many days? 3 days. And what? 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, there's only one way to through him, and that's to the Father. And so through Yeshua HaMashiach, we gain access to the throne room of our Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing for others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help tonight. Pray about radio airtime. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.